If you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And I'm going to be there in just a second. I'm there now. The Bible says there, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come together, give us listening ears. Help us, Father, to listen and grasp everything that you have for us today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your instructions that you've given us in the Bible. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to understand it, read it, and apply it to our lives, and that being for the honor and glory which you deserve, and we pray that you will receive. In the name of Jesus, I pray today. Amen. We look over in John chapter 15, and Jesus was talking very intimately with his disciples there just before he was taken out and crucified. So he had some last-minute instructions that he wanted to give them. One of the things that he talked about was that he was going away, and that he would go away, but he was going to send the Comforter back to them, to the church. Now, the church age had not begun there. The church age didn't begin until Calvary, until the resurrection, and when the Holy Spirit was received by the early church. And Jesus told them that he would be going someplace that they didn't know the way and they didn't understand. But he said, just be calm. Have a calm spirit. Don't worry about it, because I'm going to send the Comforter back to you. And his promise was made true after the Passion. And of course, we know that just right after that, Jesus was taken out to a hill called Golgotha, and he was nailed to a rugged cross, and there his blood was shed for the sacrifice for sin, so that you and I could have remission and forgiveness for our sin. Not long after that, they took him down and they sealed him up in a tomb, put a stone against the tomb and sealed it up, and put a cohort of soldiers there to guard the tomb to make sure that nobody bothered the body. One of the things that Jesus had promised them was that if you tear this temple down, I'll build it back up after 3 days. He spoke that out at the temple in Jerusalem, talking to the disciples there, and some of them thought he was talking about the temple major, or the temple there that had been built by hands. And they said it took 40 years to build this temple. And so you're telling us if it's torn down, you can rebuild it in 3 days. And he wasn't talking about the temple there in town. He was talking about his body, the temple. And he said, I'll raise it up after 3 days. And, of course, we know the rest of that story. We celebrate it every Easter. God, in through his power, raised Jesus from the dead, and he walked forth out of that tomb that day. He walked about on the earth for about 40 days after that, and he met with the disciples from time to time. One of those times, when he came out of the tomb, he met some people there, and he gave them instructions, go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee in a certain mountain. And they had predetermined a meeting place. Jesus knew he was going to rise. He knew he was going to be resurrected after the death. So he had made a predetermined meeting location for him and his disciples to meet up in Galilee. They went there and they met with Jesus. And in that place is where he gave them the Great Commission that you just heard read. To go ye therefore in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that commission went right on down from the disciples to each generation of believers and Christians since that time. Now, not long later, they were meeting, and Jesus met with the disciples and his followers in that 40-day time period at different locations and at different times. At one time, he just walked right through the door and came into a room where they were, but there was other meetings that he met with them, and one time he met with them, and he talked to them about receiving the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Ghost was going to empower them. And we find that happened in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost. Now, this is a really, really problem passage of Scripture here in chapter 2 of Acts. A lot of times some people don't make enough of it, of the power of the Holy Spirit there. And sometimes people read Acts chapter 2 or the day of Pentecost and they try to read more into it than's really there. But what it actually was at Pentecost was that time in history, at a predetermined date. It was talked about by Joel in the Old Testament, and other people prophesied of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this was the day at the celebration of Pentecost, which was a Jewish holiday, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon his people. God had preordained all of these things to happen before the worlds began, remember. That's hard for our minds to get wrapped around. But God knew everything that was going to happen from the day of creation right on through until the time that the world will end. And so he knew what man was going to need. He knew you at that time. He knew what your name was going to be. He knew who you were going to be. He even knew back then whether or not you were going to accept his son, Jesus Christ, or reject him. He knew everything about us, and so he made a predetermined decision to have his son, part of the Trinity, die at Calvary so that our sins could be forgiven, and that we could be purchased back with his blood. He also predetermined that the Holy Spirit, or his Holy Spirit, would be given out and placed upon people and in people, and he had a time to do that. It turned out to be the Jewish holiday of Pentecost when he decided to do that. Of course, we find there that when the Holy Spirit came out and indwelled in the people, they began to speak in other tongues. They were not speaking in unknown tongues. There was a time in the Bible, and is a time in the Bible, and is a time now, that people are filled with the Holy Spirit and they speak in unknown tongues. That was what Paul was talking about over in Corinthians, and he spoke of speaking in unknown tongues. Unknown tongues is completely different from what happened at Pentecost. At Pentecost, the people there, when the Holy Ghost came upon them, they began to speak in other tongues, not unknown tongues, two different animals. They begin to speak, in other words, other languages. Other languages at Pentecost. And they begin to speak. Some were speaking Hebrew, some Greek, some the language of the Medes, and it named several languages there. And so the people were confused, and they was listening to all of this. And in other words, if I could give you an example of what it would be like today, we'd come in here, and if it happened just like this, Brother Donald would be speaking Spanish, and Brother Lindell would be speaking Chinese, Sister Ling would be speaking Russian, and Bobby would be speaking Portuguese, and it was the languages of the times or the dialects of the people that they were speaking. They were not speaking in unknown tongues at Pentecost. They were speaking in tongues or languages, and so the people heard all of this commotion and these things going on, and they said, are they drunk? And they thought they had been drinking wine early in the day. And Peter stood up and said, no, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, with the Holy Spirit is coming. And so the Holy Spirit was poured out on the people that day. And immediately following that, the church had wheels. if you will. The church was ready to go out. The Great Commission that Jesus had given them a few days earlier was, "Go ye therefore." Go! He told them to stay in Jerusalem in one place until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then when the Holy Spirit came upon them and empowered them, then to go and to go into other lands and other places, teaching and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That same commission applies to the church today. You and I form a church collectively, internationally. We are the walking, talking, breathing, moving body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in spirit now. He ascended into the clouds, and the Bible says that angels informed the people there, as you saw him go up, so will you see him appear again, and that when he comes again, the next time we see him appear, he'll be coming out of the clouds exactly the way he went up. He's going to be coming up for the rapture of the church. And at that time, the Christians or the believers are going to go up with him and to be with the Lord forever. And so the people were filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. The church is still filled with the Holy Spirit today. Now, a lot of people say, well, why can't I raise the dead? Why can't I make the blind to see? Because it's not your gift to do those kinds of things. Some of us have been given, or some people have been given, the gift of healing. In my opinion, and I believe the Bible is correct about this, the pastor or the shepherd of the flock or a church should know or should have some idea of as to the gifts of each individual in the church. Some individuals have gifts of teaching. Some have the gifts of music. Some have the gifts of preaching, some of healing, some of praying, and there's a number of gifts that's named in the Bible, and there are other gifts. Some people have more than one gift. Some people have two or three or four or five gifts. Some people have one. But the Bible teaches us that everybody in the church who has the Holy Spirit in them has a gift or gifts. I can't determine the gifts that everyone has in the church, but I can see some of the gifts that people has in the church. I don't want to go into that right now, and I don't want to talk about or start calling names and gifts that I think you have, but the rest assured, you are blessed with a gift. Now, it depends on how filled you are with the Holy Spirit as to the maximum power or use that you can have of this gift that you have. Now, we have a term in the Bible called filled with the Spirit in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's referred to as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's take a look at that. We have all experienced times in our Christian lives when we felt filled with the Spirit. And then we have experienced times in our Christian walk when we have not been filled with the Spirit. The Spirit was still in us. We still had power, but we didn't have the maximum power that was available to us at that particular time because we had quenched the Holy Spirit in some way, or we had limited the power of the Holy Spirit in us in some way. It's not the Holy Spirit. It is us. Now, I have experienced this many, many times in my lifetime, especially after I have become a pastor or become ordained as a minister. And I have to tell you, I'll have to admit to you, sometimes in my work or in my Christian walk, I am filled so much with the power that I actually am convinced that I can lay hands on people and heal them of a disease or infirmity, but it's not me doing it, it's the power of God through me when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Or I may be filled with the Spirit and be able to talk to someone or rationalize with them about something or pray for them or different situations or things. And God just overwhelms me with His Spirit. And the same thing happens to you. But I got to admit to you, sometimes I've had people ask me to pray for them. And my spirit was so beat up and I was so down and confused that I just was amazed that they would even ask me to pray. Why would you want me to pray for you? I didn't feel the power of Almighty God. That happens to all of us, everyone here. Sometimes the spirit is overwhelming on you. It's strong on you sometimes. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's pulled back. I think a lot of that has to do with our own self and our physical well-being, our emotional and our spiritual well-being and health, as to whether how much the Spirit actually empowers us or strengthens us or motivates us. If you were here about 3 weeks ago, you saw me spiritually beat up. I was in a bad spiritual condition that particular day. And the reason that happened was I stepped out of the spirit and stepped back into the flesh. And I began to think in carnal terms and carnal numbers, and I abandoned the promises that God had made for me. I didn't abandon them, but I wasn't completely focused on them. And I began to pray. I know you began to pray for me and encourage me. My brother Leroy, I know he prayed for me. And I began to feel the Spirit move in me again and stir up and feel close and empowered by the Holy Ghost. Since that time, I have not been able to sit still. One of the things that God has laid on my heart, one of my gifts is, and I'm not bragging, I'm only bragging about God. One of my gifts, particular gifts, is evangelism. It's very easy for me to talk to people about Jesus or go out and meet people and tell them about Jesus or meet them on the street or do these. And so evangelism is one of the gifts that God has given me. Now, if I'd have went out that particular Sunday and tried to evangelize or talk to people about Jesus, I'd have been a miserable failure. I wouldn't have been able to have done it because the spirit within me was so low, my spirit, the Holy Spirit in me. But when the spirit catches hold of me or catches hold of you and empowers you to do things, you will absolutely be overwhelmed by the Spirit of Almighty God to do things. Are we cold or hot? Do we need to turn the AC off? Are we just right, like in the Three Little Bears? What is the story? Pig or whatever it was. Okay. But sometimes our spirit can be very low. Sometimes it can be very full and filled. Now, in the last 3 weeks, I've had this burning desire to get out there and get it done and start rebuilding the church, as we talked about a week or so ago, and that Brother Leroy suggested that we do. And I've been really, really wanting to get out there and go. I was sitting in the church here just in Tuesday night Bible study, sitting here where Donald's sitting, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I was completely overwhelmed that particular day with getting out and talking to people and inviting them to church and telling them about Jesus. I'd been out there before Tuesday night Bible study talking to people on the street. I was sitting in that chair, the blinds were open, and a young brother, Leroy, was up here doing a Bible study. I know he thought I was crazy, like he does a lot of times, and he has a perfect right to do that, because I show him craziness sometimes. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be crazy sometimes. Amen? That's kind of like crazy out of life. But I was sitting there, and Brother Leroy was preaching and teaching, and I saw a couple walking up the street here, overwhelmed. The Holy Spirit told me to go out there and meet those people and talk to those people. It was such an overwhelming feeling that I couldn't stay in that seat. I knew that if I stayed in that seat, I would be quenching the Holy Spirit. And so I got up and went out, and I talked to two young people out here on the street. And I began to minister to them and tell them about Jesus and tell them about the church, and invited them to church. And they were interested. They were pleasant young people, and they told me that they would plan to come some Sunday. The young man told me that he had been looking for a church and thinking about a church for a long time. And so that next Sunday, I was kind of looking for them to come, but they didn't show up. But another person showed up, and her name is Mary Jane Hall, and she's sitting right over there grinning at the end of that road. And what had happened is they had gone home and talked to Mary Jane. That was Mary Jane's daughter that I spoke to, and her friend, and they had spoke to Mary Jane, and Mary Jane came to church as a consequence of me leaving my seat and doing what the Holy Spirit had told me to do. And so that's how God moves, and that's how God works. You plant the seed, and then somebody else might water it, and then the Holy Spirit will develop it and use it. So the things that we say and do are completely worthless without the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had a hand in that whole thing. He from the time he overpowered me in this seat and until the time she came in and sat down, the Holy Ghost was in control of that whole situation and the whole thing. I've told you the story, one of the most magnificent stories, or not story, but the truth, one of the most magnificent expressions of the Holy Spirit that I've ever experienced in my life. I was so excited when it was all over with. I was kind of like, what happened? And I was telling everybody about it that I knew. They weren't as caught up in it as I was. I was driving down a county road in Gaston County one day, just driving along. Wasn't bothering anybody listening to the radio. And I saw a trailer stuck off out in the woods out there. A little old one of them little 12-foot, 8-foot wide trailers about to fall down. I went past it, looked at it. God's Holy Spirit said, go back and go in that trailer. And I turned around. I had no idea what was going to happen, if the trailer was going to be empty or just used as storage shed. I went up there and I knocked on the door. And a woman came to the door. She came out, started talking to me. And we had a little conversation. I introduced myself, and we were talking, and I said, does anybody live here with you? Yeah, my husband, but he's in there sick. And so she said, I don't want him to be bothered. And so in a few minutes, all of a sudden, I heard him yell out in the trailer, is that a preacher? And she said, yes. And he said, tell him to come in here. I want to talk to him. So I went in there and I found this man, and he was laying in the bed and he was sick. He was in advanced stages of cancer. He couldn't even get up. And he was in the dying mode. And he reached out his hand and he said, I want to get saved. He said, he introduced himself. His name was Marcus. And he said, I've lived a terrible life, a terrible life. I have drank, he named some terrible things that he'd done. Not that drinking is a terrible thing, but some other things. But anyway, he said, I want to get saved, and I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be baptized right now. So I shifted out of my Protestant mode and went into my Roman Catholic mode immediately. And I said, okay. So I went to the spigot and I got a glass of water, prayed over it, went back, and I sprinkled him in the name of the Lord Jesus, because that's the only way I have had of baptizing him. And by the way, the Bible doesn't actually tell you how to baptize. It gives you inclinations of how to do it. And I, in my opinion, I think if it's done in the Holy Spirit, it's the same whether you're sprinkled as a Methodist or baptized or a Baptist by immersion. But that's just a point of view that I have. And if you could find anything in the Bible where it tells me anything different, please bring it to my attention so I can read it. But anyway, I baptized the man, and we said our pleasantries, and I left. 2 weeks later, I preached that man's funeral in Quincy and his family. Now, that's how God's Holy Spirit moves. You see, I wasn't in control. I wasn't me. I didn't have any special ability other than just being a Christian and being placing myself in a position of being used and then answering the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit called. Now, how many times have you had the Holy Spirit to tell you to do something and you didn't do it? How many times has the Holy Spirit ever told you, stop and go talk to that stranger sitting in that seat over there? Or go across the street and talk to this person, or give this person a phone call, or do this or do that, and you found some reason why you didn't have to do it, or maybe it really wasn't God speaking to you, or I'll just put it off. Everybody in here has done it. I've done it 1,000 times. So I know about quenching the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit is heavy upon you, you have to be able to, and have to be willing to be used at that particular moment. If you hesitate, you quench the Holy Spirit. You have to do it in the Spirit as He tells you and directs you to do it, and then you will see magnificent miracles occur because you had the faith to step out at that moment when God took you. Miracles do not occur without faith. If you fail to move or fail to move quickly enough or hesitate, you will quench the Spirit, and that miracle that God had planned to happen is not going to happen. How many miracles do we miss just because we're not willing to be ready to be used of God? I want to point this out to you now. The next time that the Holy Spirit moves in you, no matter how wild you might think it might be, or unusual, or how embarrassing, or what people's going to think about you, step out and do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. When you are filled with the Spirit and follow the Holy Spirit, don't quench it. Feed it and acknowledge it and do it. Now, in a few days, I don't know when, we don't have a date yet, but in a few days, I'm going to be asking you to do some things today. Prepare yourself to be used of God. Start taking some time for yourself. We're all busy. We all got things to do. Start taking some time, some quiet prayer time for yourself sometime. Find a quiet place and start having some mediation and prayer, inspirational moments with God. And open yourself up to the Holy Spirit and let Him speak to you and feed you and prepare yourself for service. What we're going to do as a church is start building this church. In the name of Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing of ourselves. It's His church. He'll build it as He chooses with the pieces that He wants to build it with. He will use us as instruments or speakers, as He commissioned us to do, to go and teach and baptize, but it will be His doing in His timetable and the way He decides to do it. Prepare yourself for service. I saw a movie the other night, a war battle type movie, and the platoon was in the jungle and they were being overwhelmed by the enemy, and the first sergeant jumps up and yells out an order, prepare to defend yourselves. And so I'm giving you a marching order now. Prepare yourself for service to the God who created the universe. And you do that through His overwhelming Holy Spirit. You have to feed it, nurture it, and you cannot quench it. You have to follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit. I was in the Spirit last week. God led me to build this and write this. I shared it with Brother Leroy. I asked his advice on several things, and he helped me. So we have a new church brochure. And I'll show it to you. The front side is a little bit about the church. Introduction to the church and the ministry here at the corner of Mission Road and Alpha Yard Drive, New Life Ministries. On the back side is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the title of it is, Why Do I Need Jesus? This is intended for the use, for your use to give to people. This message on the back is for lost people, by the way. You walk by them every day. You walk by them at work, in the grocery store, on the sidewalk, everywhere you go, you walk past them. So these are the new gospel tracts that we have to promote the Lord Jesus Christ and His work that's going on here. So if you prepared for your service and you prepared yourself, get yourself together and get prepared. We're going to go out and we're going to do some street evangelism for those who care to join the street evangelism team. And we'll talk more about that as we go along and in more classes. We don't have time to do that today. We'll probably get into that next week somewhat. I have these. They're available. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Come by here. When you leave, after you get through greeting everyone today, on this tape over here, I have some loose ones. If you only want two or three, then pick up two or three for there. Or if you want 10 or 12, pick up one of these packets. And either one you want, please don't let them be laid up on your refrigerator and draw dust. If you take them this week, pray about it, and take them with you when you go walking or wherever you go, and just pass them out. Start a conversation with people. Be filled with the Spirit. You don't bore people to death. Don't talk to people that is not receiving you. If they're not paying any attention to you, or if you get the least bit of resistance by their body language, just say, God bless you, and go on your merry way. But if they open themselves up for a conversation, then talk to them about the church and let the Holy Spirit lead the conversation wherever He wants to go. Don't quench the Spirit, but don't try to force the Spirit. And just give it to people. Take them home with you. Give them to your children. Give them to your friends. Give them to your neighbors. If you like to walk, go out and just pass them out. Hand them to people. Invite them to church. And so you practice that this week, and then we'll get into some further work with these tracks as we go along. But remember this. We got our marching orders from Jesus. And it's time for us to tap into that strength of the Holy Ghost that He's given us and that power. And go out and start doing the work in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because I know that everybody in here is jumping up and down, getting ready to get started. Amen. And so come by. Please come by. Get some tracks and just practice this week. And then we'll have more instruction as we go along. Okay. I don't like putting people on the spot, but I heard my sister pray one time. I heard her pray several times. I used to ask her to pray in the church. And I love hearing Betty give some pray. She's just a praying woman. And I'm glad you're here today, sister. I really am. You know we love you, and I love you. And we're just glad of the relationship that we have. So I'm going to ask you if you'll close us in prayer today, please.
Father, I want to thank you for guiding me up here today.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy to see everybody. And I want to ask you this week coming up, Heavenly Father, please just go with us all. Guide us through this week. Keep evil away from us and keep us close to you.
Amen.
And Heavenly Father, I ask you to go with everyone that's not feeling spiritually motivated to help them to build this church, bring the members back, and help them to love each other.
Amen.
We need love, Heavenly Father. So many times we just pass each other by without even noticing that they are there. But just bring us closer together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Say hello to somebody before you leave.